and quickly climbed the 3-foot-high wall. Rano suggested to the proprietor to follow suit. Rano laughed, telling us later they looked so stupid walking on the wall while Sheba frisked, accompanying them along the driveway. Sheba is a very intelligent horse. She always came when she was called by her name. Also, as soon as she went in her stable for the night, she would piddle in her basin when we whistled to her. The most lovable trick she knew was to kiss when she wanted carrots. You would have loved to see her do that. We had to say, "Koti, Sheba," and she would kiss by stretching her neck to touch our mouth with her nose and lips. If we had partaken of milk or tea or anything, she fancied she would sniff interestedly. I think you will like to have a picture taken of her and Baba. In Sitara, our compound was very big, with no particular garden, good open space surrounded by high green hedge, and it was convenient for Sheba to be free. The main road was near. If Sheba heard a squeaking or a noisy vehicle, she would gallop away, bucking and prancing. She was very tame with us. She used to come for her share of carrots near the veranda and kissed each one to beg for carrots. A person in Sitara who had once owned racehorses saw Sheba and recognized her as a good breed. He took much interest in her and guided us in her training and her quota of feeds. Later, he asked permission to train her for racing. He saw Sheba was a swift horse. She was not kept for any more free anymore, and a groom was hired to break her. Every day she was exercised accordingly. After we came to Marizad, it was very impractical to keep Sheba, so she was presented in the military riding school. After some months, we went to see her. She had not forgotten us, nor to kiss. We took with us all her favorite tidbits. She used to love karak chapatis, ripe mango, dry tea leaves, biscuits. The people at the stable were amazed at the spectacle to see Sheba eagerly stretch her neck to exchange kisses in return for tidbits. The riding school authorities realized her speed and entered her for racing. I have a picture of her running the race. She was given handicap, and yet she won the race by a length. At the grandstand, a whole lot of military persons were there to cheer her. When they saw her winning, they cheered and cheered and were proud to see their colors come first among the 14 horses that raced with her. As I am about to it, I'll add two more incidents. In Dehradun, adjoining our bedroom, was a nice garage, and this we had turned into a stable for Sheba. Through one of the windows, we could peep at Sheba when she lay down to rest. The feeding box for the hay was set high and level with the side veranda. Whenever Baba came to caress and feed Sheba, he stood on the veranda near the box. Baba would take handfuls of green grass to feed Sheba, and Peter would climb into the box and sit himself on the grass. But Sheba did not resent it, nor bite him, and Peter, feeling that he was being left out, and to draw Baba's attention, would also take a few bits of grass and chew it to show he was enjoying it too. Sheba and Peter loved each other, I think because they were young together. Peter used to go inside the stables to sniff around, and Sheba liked it, and she would go up to him and playfully catch a hair on the back of it and give him a gentle tug to show her affection. One day, Sheba, in her playful mood, was running, and Peter, getting into the spirit, ran after her, and by coming too near, her hind hooves got his head grazed inadvertently. He came with drooping head and tail, with a sad and hurt expression, as if to say, "I meant to play with her, and she hurt me." Seeing how rigidly he held his neck, I got scared and called Money. We carried him inside and put him on Money's bed. Governor gave him some brandy, and we all fussed over him as he lay there very still. We stood near the door, discussing in soft tones what other measures to take, when turning around, we were startled to see Peter sitting up on the bed, wagging his stumpy little tail, as if saying, "I'm quite okay," and he had enjoyed the brandy and all the attention he had evoked. The two pets we now have are Mustang and Peter. Peter's now an old grandpop, though still quite active for his age, especially when he smells a rat and all his rheumatic pains are forgotten. Mustang is named by Baba, is a big-sized dog with a beautiful black bushy coat and tail. His brown and white markings are perfectly symmetrical. His mother was a pure Tibetan mastiff. Baba had brought her when still a puppy, and from the Himalayan border on one of his must trips. This puppy, Bhuti, became attracted to Baba, following him everywhere on the journey in the mountains. Once the puppy, walking on the very edge of the cliff, had slipped and would have fallen down the steep ravine, but it clung on tight for dear life and was miraculously saved. Baba was touched by the pluck, and he asked the owner and brought the puppy with him. Considering what a fierce watchdog Bhuti was, Mustang was very loving and gentle for his size. Every afternoon he is privileged to sit on Baba's bed and is petted and fed tidbits. He certainly knows a good thing, and he looks forward to the time. Like Sheba, he also knows the value of kissing, which he does very sweetly. There's a lovely Siamese cat who has adopted us. He comes to stay at our place in Pune every time we are there in the summer. He is so attached to Baba, he rubs his head on Baba's feet as though taking darshan. He waits every morning outside Baba's bedroom door. As soon as the door is open, he somehow manages to slip past us and races us to the room. Being a Siamese, he has perfect markings and he is easily trained. He is such a dear, everyone loves him. Baba feels it very much, leaving him behind in Pune. But we can't possibly have him here because of the dogs and the birds who feed and hop on the ground, especially the robins. You know how tame they can be. In October, a red start comes from the north to spend the winter here. We call her Biki. She loves biscuits and comes on the windowsill to feed. Also hops very close to us on the veranda, demanding crumbs of chapatis. You would love this bird also. She is so tame. She knows her name and flies to us when she is called. She has even taken crumbs from our hands. She comes so near. Mani writes on 28th March 1967 that they're already busy with pre-Pune packing and preparations. In 1952 in Myrtle Beach, Ruano had made a needle case for, I guess, knitting needles for Mara and Mani. On 4th November 64, Mani writes that Don had gone to England where his brother died. Elder brother Brian died peacefully. Don was able to be with him in England for nearly a month before the end, and he's expected back in India by December. On 8th January 65, Mani writes that her brother Adi and Franny, Dar and Shireen are coming for a visit to Marizad. Adi is permitted to come every day and is here nearly every day from morning till evening. Adi will be leaving for England on 17th January, and Franny Dar Shireen will follow in early March. Shireen adores Baba and has won over Baba's heart, too. Whenever we give her anything, she rushes to the mandali to give it to Baba. When Mara gave her chocolates, she ran to give Baba the first one. On Mara's birthday, when she received a slice of cake, she immediately went off to offer it to Baba. And Baba, who does not eat any sweets now, never refuses and partakes of it. Yesterday, that would be on 7th January, 65, was her Nalja. Beloved Baba wanted it done according to the grandfather's wish at the Parsi Agyari. But in the morning, Shireen was called here with Adi Franidara, her grandmother, Suna Mai, and Sarosh. And her real Nalja was done by Baba's hand. He put the sadr and kusti on her, and Kaikabad was told to say a short prayer. For this occasion, she was permitted to take Baba's darshan, and every now and then she kept going to Baba, placing her head on his feet and embracing him. As for the questions she asked, Baba are amazing for a seven-year-old. Baba clarified them. Only God can explain these things to me, she said. The other day she gave me a chocolate, saying, because you are God's sister, not because I'm her aunt, she calls Mara the special one. Franny, Vilu, and Vilu's daughter also visited on Mara's birthday, and Arnavas, Katie, Gaimai, and Korshid were with us, too, for a week. Don is back on 8th, you know, he's back by the 8th of January, 65. 2 days after beloved Baba's birthday, in 1966, Mehru Dastur died after a few days' illness. Baba's name was continuously on her lips till the last moment, and Baba said she has come to him and freed forever from the round of births and deaths. Mehru is indeed blessed, and so is her family, who took it so well in the true Baba spirit. Kaikabad's high understanding is not surprising, but even dear Jerbai took it so wonderfully that it made us humble and proud to see them practice what we often preach in words. Gulu was also very brave, though little Jalu broke down when she saw Baba. Arnavas, Katie, Gaimai, and Korshid came for Mara's birthday, 1964. They looked through some pictures Iran had sent of roses, and even beloved Baba admired them. When Shireen was there in December, she loved animals, and she would embrace Baba and Mara and then went off to rush to kiss Mustan and Peter. Her time would be spent petting Mustan and Peter and then rushing off to embrace Baba again. When they came to say goodbye, Shireen asked me if she could not take Mustan back to England with her. She was in tears saying goodbye, not to us, but to Mustan. Mara's writing this letter on 11th February, 65. We have begun our packing and will be leaving for Guru Prasad on 30th of this month. Due to Baba's health and pain in the neck and shoulders, the 15-day darshan program has been curtailed to 6 days in the first week of May. We all hope and pray that he will be all right by then and that the darshan program will not be a strain. 1968, in Mara's writing, we arrived in Pune on the 1st of April and are busy getting settled. This is now May 68. The drive was a bit tiring for Baba, as Baba is strict in seclusion till 21st May. No one will come to Guru Prasad, and we are not to step out of the Guru Prasad compound. I have as good as completed the blouse I had begun in Marazon. Mani's letter, 6th July 1967. We arrived here, that's Marazat, on 2nd July. Baba had quite a comfortable journey in Don's car, driven by Adi this time. Now we are in the midst of unpacking and I'm feeling too lazy to do anything. 14th September 1967, Mara writes, since July 10th, beloved Baba is in much stricter seclusion due to the intensification of his universal work. He comes from the Mandalay looking so tired due to the pressure and strain of his work. On July 10th, absolute quiet reigned in Marazat. For not only we, but the servants also observed Baba's Silence Day anniversary, and poor Mastan, who had had a previous experience, was quite resigned. Who has had previous experience was quite resigned. A tape of talks on Baba and his silence, given on nationwide radio from New York, was sent here by Harry Kenmore prior to the day, and Baba and we all gathered in the Mandalay's hall to listen to the tape on the morning of the 10th. Kitty talked on Baba and his silence. It was well done, and a number of people, including Elizabeth and Kitty, talked on Baba in his silence. At this time, I'm also stitching a blouse for myself. Meru has helped me to stitch a cotton coat that I've just completed. Mani's letter, 7th July, 1960. Dear Gaimai is here with us for some days. She is the only one allowed to stay during this seclusion of Baba's, and she has not been more than a few hours in Marazat before. She's staying for 20 days. Mara was writing about the Switzerland trip and says, we had no idea that the lakes were so big. Just thinking those cool waters was so beautiful. On 23rd September 1964, Mani writes that Duncan has gone over for a visit to England, as his brother is seriously ill and is not long to live. The brother has advanced cancer. Baba has told him to stay on there for some months, change with his family. And she says, Mara's looking forward to the nice newsy letter from you, but don't mention my letter. Katie came to Anagar for a few days' holiday, and she had a real surprise in Baba asking her to visit Marazat yesterday, 22nd September, 64. She leaves this evening, and while typing this, she's in the garden with Mara. They left for Guru Prasad on 1st April, 1968. On 15th December 65, Mara writes, Arnavaz, Katie, Korshid will be here for 8 days during Christmas. This is 1965. It says that Mara is writing that we are growing vegetables this year more than flowers because they need the food. But the rainfall has been insufficient, not regular. Instead of having rain in September and October, which would have benefited the crops, it's raining in December. We have had cloudy and chilly weather with intermittent showers for the last 8 days, and it's still very cold, but we are happy to see the sunshine again. This chill is not good for the pain in beloved Baba's hip, nor for the ever-present pain in the cervical region, or on the whole, the hip pain is better, though. 16th March 1962, Mani writes that Arnavaz will be staying with us for a few days despite the seclusion rules. When we went to see the drama in Nagar, which was mentioned in the family letters, we saw dear Mansari after a long while. She was looking a little better. 18th November 1961, Mani wrote that the other day Rano and Naja went to Marabat to put mothballs in the trunks of clothes of Baba's early Western suits that are still there in the room there. Mara and we others haven't seen Mansari for about 2 years. Eric will be back from Pune this Thursday. He had spent some weeks in Pune with Gaimai and the family, as wished by Baba. 1st May 1962, Mani writes that Pendu has been operated on and had sent to the hospital. On 19th May 1962, Mani is writing about when Vishnu died, and said the end was too instantaneous for him to take Baba's name, but there is one thing that impressed those around him very much. When he was lying on the sofa with his heart and pulse completely stopped for some minutes, he had his eyes half open. Then when Baba came and stood beside him, one of us called out, Vishnu, look, Baba is here. and Vishnu's eyes opened fully and rested on Baba, who was standing by him. They remained thus until we shut them gently. 6th of February, 1968, Mani writes that here in India, it's one of the coldest winters we remember, but it's suddenly warm and cloudy. Nadja, who used to wear skirt upon skirt upon skirt because it was so cold, and we would say she was looking like Helen Dom. Adi from London is here with us since a week. Beloved Baba called him for some special work, and he'll be leaving Marizad by the end of this month. Mara writes that we arrived in Pune on the 1st of April, 1968. Beloved Baba's in strict seclusion. No one is allowed to come here, nor can we or the Mandali go out of the compound till May 21st. That was written on 17th April, 68. Baba stayed at Hotel Rubens on Buckingham Palace Road in London, 1956, I believe. On 17th January, 1970, Mara's writing, we are all doing our best to live as beloved Baba would want us to. We cannot gauge the immensity of his suffering, which he did in silence for the good of humanity. May we all his lovers be worthy of his dear love for us. I am sending by book post a snapshot of a tree. On its trunk is seen a very clear image of beloved Baba's face. If you look close, the shape of a crown is seen on the head. This is an Umar tree which stands outside my east window. The Umar tree is much revered by the Hindus, as the Umar tree is said to be the seat of Dattatreya, who is the embodiment of the three aspects of God, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh, the creator, the sustainer, and the dissolver. The Pimpalgaon villagers who had not come for beloved Baba's darshan when he was physically in our midst have come flocking to the tree to take darshan of Baba's image, as they now have proof of Baba's godhood. Mani writes, 7th August 1956, today is Khodadad Sal, Zoroaster's birthday, and we've just been stamping chalk or Ranguli decorations in the house. Irene had sent a letter about Baba's trip to the West. This is 56, and Mani says, we all sat around in the hall as I read it out, and I had to stop sometimes when there were delighted remarks now and again from the others. It was as if you were right there telling us these things, and I'm sure Baba was on the Ghadi too, as your letter brought such an intimate picture of the wonderful times you dear ones had with Baba. We were very happy about Haiti and Adi, etc. Today, Baba leaves San Francisco for Australia, and the large American group, including Kitty and Elizabeth, that have accompanied Baba all the way through, will be saying goodbye. It is strange, but in a sense, we have not really felt Baba is away, as we know he is with his Western family. We follow the day-to-day and hour-to-hour itinerary that we have with us, deducting the number of hours from our time according to the corresponding time in the West, counting on our fingers and often arriving at different hours. I don't believe we've done so much counting since leaving school. Now, while Baba will be in Australia, we will be adding 4.5 hours to our Indian time, and that will be delightfully easy. Helen and Gisela's girls came to see Baba also at the airport. Mani's letter, 21st February, 1964. A few days ago, Baba suddenly decided to cancel all darshan this year, and nobody will be coming to see him when we are in Pune. So cables and telegrams and letters have been rushing out, as so many were already fixing their accommodations in hotels in Pune, and about a dozen from the West who had been given permission to visit this summer when Baba goes to Pune. Now it is all canceled, and although we can't help feeling deeply disappointed for them all, we know whatever Baba plans is for his work, and that comes above all considerations. Mani writes that they'll be leaving the 7th of August, 1961 from Pune instead of the 1st of August. Arnavaz has been there in Pune. This is July 61. At Gaimai's, 10th October 1965, Dr. Deshmukh had visited Marizad for a couple of hours. We had a nice chat some days ago he had visited. On 11th April 1959, Mani writes, Baba has just returned from visiting a blind home in Pune this morning. The Mandali said it was so touching to watch them receive Baba's love. Very soon after their arrival in Guru Prasad, a number of the Mandali and us were down with flu at about the same time, except for Mani. For once, she was not a patient but a nurse. During 1952 Switzerland trip, Irene had given Mara and them some sewing pins. 26 1952. Monty's writing, Kaka had a bad heart attack yesterday and it left us all very anxious. And seeing 5th February 1959, Monty writes that Irene's card was placed among the others' birthday cards on Baba's breakfast table. Baba asked me to read what you wrote on the back, and he sends you his love, which is ever with you. During the month we were at Guru Prasad, Mehru was in Bombay for medical care with Nagu. There was an operation which was very successful, and Mehru is now back with us, much nearer her old self. Looks like we'll be packing to go back to the room. We visited Maribad the other day after such a long time. 14th March 1960. Mani's writing that this evening there was a lovely moonrise. It made such a picture from Baba's window. Baba called us all to see it. Lately, Mara and we all have taken to having our supper by moonlight in the garden and watched the stars through the champa tree. Mani writes that Don Stevens will be with Baba on 25th December 1959. He's arriving Bombay on the 23rd and be in Pune on the 24th and with Baba the next day. On 7th February 1960, Mani writes, summer heat is too strong, especially for beloved Baba. Of course, she misses Peter also. Korshid was here for a few days, and now she'll be joining us in Guru Prasad. Otherwise, she is in Bombay with Masi. Baba has gone to Maribad this morning to see Mansari and Jirbai family. We haven't seen him for quite some time. This is 6th November from Marizad. Mani's writing that, I don't know the year, but it says, Irene Kanibar came here on 2nd evening in the same car with Don Stevens and Francis Brabazon. She's rather hard of hearing from an early accident to her spine, and it was wonderful how active she is in Baba's work, despite the handicap. She has left for Delhi, where she will spend the winter with some colonel. This is in the year that they had us some sahavas and made a film of Baba with the alphabet board. On the 27th, that must have been October, we left Satara at 6 in the morning for Pune. For in Pune, Baba had an unusual appointment. I think I can safely call it unprecedented, with a prisoner at the central jail. I recall long ago having heard of this Parsi boy whom the authorities were hunting for manslaughter. He had run to Baba, and Baba told him to give himself up, which he did. He was 20 then and has been in prison for 10 years and will probably be there for the rest of his life. He loves Baba and has his picture in the cell. He was longing to see Baba, so Baba went and saw him. We stopped, of course, at Gaimai's, and there we later saw Arnavaz and Nargish and Rhoda, Carmen, Masi, Dina, and Arnavaz's aunt. Rhoda brought along her three boys. This is about Nozer Dadachanji, who had died in the same letter. And after Gaimai told us afterwards, because Baba was in Pune, the day when the news of Nozer was received, that when Baba was waiting for the second cable from Naroji, the father, he told the Jesawalas that he wondered who would win, Baba or Naroji. And it was Naroji's reply came to simply say how deeply it pained him to have to disturb Baba on the day of his rest, for which Baba had come to Pune. Baba stood before the big picture in the house of the five perfect masters with Baba in the center, and slightly bowing before it, gestured, "My Naroji wins." From Pune, Roshan Satta came in the car with him. We stopped at Shirinmai's. It's a Satta colony. Baba sent her his own wheelchair that he used because she is bedridden with arthritis. On another bed was Ali, one of Rosh's crippled sisters who had fever and a cough besides. It was all so sad. As Baba embraced each of them, we thought of Jesus. Then we saw Gulmai for a few minutes. She has aged a lot and was recovering from an accident she had to her hands. She burned them both badly while cooking. Paroja was there too, and we also had a glimpse of Dolly, who was so thin and always busy with a duster. We see little of Baba these days. He leaves early in the mornings and returns in the evenings. The weather has been very kind all these days, and Baba looked so beautiful as he left in his favorite pink coat. In Sitara, Mani's letter, 27th March, 1956. Baba has been working intensely for a week before the 20th at the judge's bungalow for nearly 7 hours with the two musks brought over specially. One was a very high one from Rishikesh named Nilkant after the mountain where he first was in a cave, greatly loved and revered by many. And the other was our Ali Shah from Mehrabad. And Baba was as happy as he always is when the musks, but also seemed quite exhausted sometimes when some of us would go over for the short afternoon visit. The other day, Ali Shah came over to the window, asking where the big boss was. He could not tolerate being parted from Baba for even a while, and also at nights would walk out of bed asking for his beloved boss. Well, when Baba went over to the window, the little musk looked fit to burst with happiness and chattered away in two languages. Obviously, it was a joke between Baba and himself. We got nothing beyond the words that never seemed to make a sentence, for Baba nodded, smiling most happily, and the musk gave one of the heartiest chuckles I've heard. He has the most soulful, loving eyes, and I shall always carry a very loving picture in my mind. Baba never tired of telling us about them, about the musks, whenever we went over, and the other day gave us a delightful action picture of the Rishikesh musks' sudden transitions from vigorous action to supreme inaction. In the later phase, he lies or sits in a complete immobility, often with eyes closed. When Baba would suggest something, a bath for instance, the musk would leap out of the bed and stride to the bathroom for the bath Baba would give him. When it was over, back to his place in instant immobility. Suggestion for food and he'd rush to the kitchen. He cooks his own food, except for days together when he will not partake of anything. And certainly what he cooks is tasty, though invariably half-cooked. He has no teeth and gobbles enormous morsels with no digestive disorders of any kind as a result of that. Food over and back to his seat in a posture as serene as a statue. Both musks were sent back to their respective places on the 20th, and Baba came for a short stay at Grafton. On the 21st was the Irani New Year, and we made a king-size bagula of faluda, and it was delicious. Baba will leave on this 29th for a car trip of about a week with just a few of the men to Aurangabad, Khuldabad, and Hyderabad. And Nehru has accepted Eisenhower's invitation and will be going from 6th or 7th July to the 10th or 11th. And Baba does not wish his visit to coincide with Nehru's. And therefore, instead of in the first week of July, Baba will most probably be leaving Bombay in mid-July. Baba's landlady in Sitara was Mrs. H. N. Cooper. She's the landlady at Grafton. 18th July, 1955. It is raining, and Baba has gone for a walk with two of the men. One is Bao. Had gone out with a walk with Bao and Shatrughna, and of course Peter. Mani writes, Baba's gone for a walk with two of them. One is Bao, a learned chap with all sorts of high degrees, and so gentle and kind that Rano says that if he were in Christ's time, he must have been St. John. And the other is Kumar, and of course Peter. Yesterday, Baba went again for a short drive to see a new musk that Baidu had discovered at Faltan, 50 miles from here, and the musk was a very good one, a Hindu old and not conscious of his body. Then Mani describes how she and Mehru go out every morning with an umbrella and look for mushrooms, and they try to get the right ones, but Gavir gets thin with worry because they're going to die. June 6th of April, 1956. Mani's writing that Baba returned on the second night from the car trip. It was terribly hot, as we expected, and Baba hurriedly finished the must work and returned much sooner, driving without resting and stopping for a 42-hour stretch on the way back in that scorching heat. Baba and the men hadn't rested for two consecutive nights, so you can well imagine how tired they must have been when they got here. Baba was looking much his usual self the next morning and spent the 4th at Judge's bungalow with the Mandali. There's been a heat wave all around in Bombay, and a few days ago it was 107. During the short time Baba was away, I put on the apron for a change from the eternal typing and got out your Swiss cookery book and tried the something that intrigued me. Now, this is written on 4th May, 1956. Monty writes, yesterday afternoon, Baba returned from another must trip of 3 days. Once more, long stretches of driving, unbroken, even at nights, and he contacted a number of good musts. He is still at Judge's bungalow, and for the first week over there has been keeping a stiff schedule of fasting from the 20th to the 23rd, 4 days. He had a breakfast of liquids and a little fruit, a banana or mango, and nothing else for the rest of the 24 hours. On the 24th, he fasted completely, not even taking water for 24 hours. And once again, it was a particularly hot day. It was